Praise the Lord. It's good that you're here today, and I want to give you a little news for those of you that haven't heard. Maybe most of you have already heard, but some of you may or may not remember one of our members called John Crocker. How many know John? Okay, some of you do, some of you don't. John was a really great asset out here on the building. When we were building the building, in fact, the night that we were all about two-thirds give out, it got about dark, and John come out and he says, "I thought you might need a night shift tonight." I said, "What do you mean, John?" He said, "Well, I checked the weather and they said tomorrow it's going to be awful. It's going to be blowing 30 miles an hour." So he said, "I know you're not going to be able to get a roof on this." And so he said, "I thought I'd come out and see if I could help you tonight since I got caught up with everything during the day." And so John came out, and then about that time, Scott comes showing up. And so the couple of guys that's helping me and Dave in the daytime, they went home, and Scott and John crawled up on the roof with us. And by about midnight that night, we put the last sheet of insulation and the last piece of metal on the roof, and we had the building sealed in. And the next morning, it was, sure enough, blowing like crazy. But John was right. But John, this week, although as healthy as he looks, and he's only 61 years old, this week, John died in his home and went home to be with Jesus this week. Nobody knows what happened to him. I talked to a lady this morning that said she's a nurse and she's a friend of his, and her husband said, "We talked to him Friday and said he had a little congestion," and said, "I suggested that maybe he go to a doctor, you know, to at least be checked." He said, "No, I'm fine." They called him, I think, in the middle of the week. They called John to see how he was doing, and he didn't answer his phone. And so they tried several times. He wouldn't answer his phone. So they went over, and his car was at the house. And so they had the police come and open the door. And when they went in, John was deceased in the house. And so all I got to say, folks, although he was only 61, he got to graduate and go home to be with our Lord. You know, now this absence from the body is to be present with the Lord. We as Christians should not be sad when one of us go home. Of course, we miss their companionship. And, you know, I think about how meticulous John was on the building as he was helping us. You know, I mean, we would be doing something, and if I started to miss a screw in a certain place, he said, "Thurman, you missed one right there. It goes right there." And okay, John, I'm sorry. I did. I did hurry. But, boy, he was watching. He was really watching. And, of course, he stayed out here a few nights with us. You know, we had an extra bedroom while he was here some of the time. He would stay a night or two so he could be up working with us every day in the daytime. But he was always doing something, helping do something. But I would have never dreamed when Dave told me yesterday when he picked Cheryl and I up at the airport last night. He said, "John Crocker went home to be with the Lord this week." I said, "What? You know, what? I mean, I just couldn't believe that." You know, so wow. But anyway, the thing about it is, the thing that we need to recognize and always be aware of as Christians, we are all just temporary on this earth. You know, I mean, every one of us are temporary. I mean, you know, who knows how long we'll live? Somebody says 60, and wow, I know I'm going to make it past 60, you know, because I've already made it past it quite a ways. And some of you here are way past me, you know, so, and you're still healthy and well. But, you know, it seems like we just don't ever want to give up. God put something in us on this earth to just hang on just as long as we can. Isn't that right? You know, if we knew how good heaven was, none of us would want to stay here. You know, every time we hear a story about somebody that does die, whether it be a pastor or just a normal layman or whoever it is, if they get to go see heaven and then they do have to get sent back, none of them wants to come back to this place. You know, so that ought to tell us something, right? So heaven is going to be awesome. And so I'm going to tell you, if you'd say, "John, what do you think about Thurman and Dave down there?" He said, "Thurman and Dave who?" He ain't even had time to think about Thurman and Dave. You know, "Oh, that building you helped build, what building?" He said, "Wow, look at this house I got." You know, there is going to be no comparison between the homes that the King has made for us in eternity. And so we need to be praising the King when one of us go home. And because, you know, he's in a much, much better place. Although John had a pretty nice place here, and, you know, he was... His dad was an engineer, and John's dad was one of the nuclear physicists that helped make the atomic bomb. you know, and his dad was an extremely brilliant scientist and engineer. And, of course, I get tickled at John when he would tell me, he said, the grandchildren will say, but Granddaddy, what did you do? Some of the projects you did when you were in school. He said, when I was in high school, I built my own internal combustion engine. And they says, well, where did you get the block? He said, I cast it. He said, where did you get the crankshaft? He said, I cast it. In other words, he built it from nothing. He made his own molds, his own forms, and he poured his own steel, and he made an internal combustion engine for a project in high school. We don't have children like that anymore. Most children today can't even fix a car, much less build one. But his dad was not normal. He was a really supernatural man of God that God gave great and awesome knowledge and wisdom to. John had a very, very awesome dad. And, of course, John was a pretty nice guy himself. You know, so if you didn't know John, you missed or really missed something. John Crocker came into our ministry years ago, and he was always coming up for prayer for his mother, for his sisters, or whatever. And God answered our prayers over and over and over for him and his family. And he'd come back with a praise report. He wasn't very much of getting up here and telling you about what happened. But whenever we got an answer, he always would come up to me and put his arm around me. Pastor, what you prayed for last week or last month for my sister, it happened this week. Amen. And so I said, praise the Lord. But John was a man of faith. He loved the Lord, but John is at home this week with our Lord. And he only had 61 years here on this earth. So we don't know. The sisters are coming in. They're all from out of state. And I don't know what they'll do. I don't know what the service. I told them I would be happy to do the service for them if they have it before Wednesday. But I have to fly out Wednesday. And so I don't know what they're going to do. So it still remains to be seen what they will do. But there is John Crocker. You know, he was a great man of God, and I just loved him. And I never dreamed that when I come home this trip that John would be at home with the Lord. You know, when you take a healthy young man, you don't think about that, do you, Frank? No, you just don't think. But you know what that ought to tell us? You need to love. You need to have more love in your heart this week, Tom, Edna. You need to have more love in your heart this week, because we don't know if this might be our last week, do we? No, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know that. Theo, we ought to love, shouldn't we, brother? We ought to love one another just like our King commanded us, because on this earth our life is so short. So short. Wow. I don't know who might be the oldest person in here, but I mean, I know that many of you, several of you, are older than me. And how old are you, Miss Bobby? 81. Anybody older than 81? 81. Well, now see, this young lady back here that's 81, I've known her for several years, and this is a vibrant, on fire daughter of the King. And she's still in good health. I know Joseph. Where are you, Joseph?
I'm 78.
78. I knew Joseph was up there a little. I knew he was just a little older than me. But Joseph's 78. But Joseph's on fire for the Lord. He's driving buses and hauling people all over the country all the time. I mean, you know, somebody said 78. That's old. Well, no, it depends on how you look at it. Joseph, he come out here. He's been out here many a time. Helped me on the building, work, do all kinds of stuff, all kinds of things. Man, he's a ball of fire. Now then, that's just a number, isn't it, Joseph? 78 is just a number.
That's right, that's all it is.
Yeah, it's just a number. We can still do great things for the kingdom of God. Even I look at this lovely lady, Miss Bobby. She says she's 81. Boy, she's vibrant and on fire, working for Jesus, producing fruit for the kingdom all the time. And probably feel like you're about 40, don't you, Miss Bobby?
Well.
You better say yes. But look at that beautiful woman sitting there, 81 years old. I mean, that just goes to show you what we can do for the kingdom. Just because you're 81 years old, look how beautiful she's dressed today. Look at that beautiful thing around her neck and all that stuff. She got up this morning, spent time getting ready, and she's out about the kingdom of God. She lives way down in Arlington, you know, way down there somewhere in south of Dallas and somewhere. Don't you live in South Arlington? That's what I thought, yeah. And yet she comes all the way up here to church. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's amazing, 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 you know, but love. The thing I cannot overstress today, we need to remember all of us here are temporary. All of us. Everybody in this room has been here less than 100 years, right? Nobody here. If nobody's older than Miss Bobby, 81 years or 82 years ago, there wasn't none of us on this earth. Not one single one of us. And probably another 80 or 90 or 100 years, I'll probably say 100 years, even though we got some little bitty children here today, more than likely 100 years from today, there won't be a single person in this building still alive on this earth. More than likely. The chances are very good. So we'll all be somewhere. And I hope we're all in the kingdom running and dancing and praising the King, don't you? I hope all of us are. But just think of the number of people that's on this earth today that's walking around that 100 years from now will be burning in hell.
That's right.
Isn't that so sad? Because why are they going to burn in hell? Because they're not washed in the blood of Jesus. They're not washed in the blood. Without the blood, you can't get there. We're going to talk about some of those things today, about what happens in the name of Jesus. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about. We're going to start out in Acts 2, 36 through 41. That's where we're going to start out. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 41. I've been procrastinating on putting our new screen up. I know I should do that, and I guess I should do it, even though it'll be temporary right there. I don't know if I get around to it this week or not, but since I'm going to be out of town most of the week. But eventually, right here, there'll be a wall all the way up to the ceiling. And so when I do build that, I'll add, there'll be two floors here, one for the ministry building on the other side, because we need more room. And then the upstairs floor will be a production room for a whole lot of stuff and my stuff and all kinds of stuff. And when I put this wall all the way up to the ceiling here, then we'll put that screen, hopefully right here in the middle, you know, and hang it down from that so that you'll be able to see that. But in the meantime, we just have to do, our sheet still works pretty good, doesn't it? You can at least read it temporarily. We're okay. We realize we're all temporary here, so we're trying to get things done, but, you know, we're doing the best we can, praise the Lord. But we got to be about the King's business during the week. And for about 4 months, Cheryl kept me out of the traveling world so we could work on this building. But now then, we're having to get back in it, praise the Lord. But anyway, Acts chapter 2, verse 36, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ, or Lord and Messiah. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Let's go to the next two verses. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call." Aren't you glad he called you? Because this promise of salvation in the name of Jesus Christ is to everybody in this building. But there's no grandchildren in that. So for those people that have those little children in there in the nursery, you're going to have to teach them as they grow up how to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because if they don't make Jesus Lord of their life without the name of Jesus, without them calling by faith on the name of Jesus, they cannot have eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Now, it makes no difference what they do on this earth. I think about how many bad things, or I think about really how many good things this one man did on this earth in his life, but he also done many bad things. But after death, and he's falling into the pit of hell, I got this man to call on the name of Jesus. And I saw a man falling into the pit of hell speak one word, Jesus, as he's laying in the hospital dead. And he's falling into the pit of hell. And I knelt there to pray beside the bed, and God showed me the vision of this man falling into the pit of hell. And I began to scream, "Call on the name of Jesus. And I said that many times, many times. And all of a sudden, I heard that man's voice, one word, Jesus. And I saw a ray of light come from heaven, illuminate him, stop him, and draw him into heaven. I saw him disappear into the kingdom, into that light. Now, that's too close to get, isn't it? Jack, you don't want to do that, do you? That scare you? I mean, just think of all the things that man had refused to accept as Jesus. I mean, on the earth, he wasn't a wicked murderer, nothing like that. He was a good man. I mean, he took pretty good care of his family and all those things. But he's had a lot of sins in his life. But it doesn't make any difference what those sins were. Any of those sins will take you to hell, won't they? You can be the best man on earth. And without the blood of Jesus, the Lord says, you're as a filthy rag in my presence. You cannot get there. But this man finally called upon the name of Jesus. And I got to see this man stop falling into hell and saw him go into heaven. What if he had been the worst murderer and rapist and killer and everything? What if he had been all of that and he'd have still called on the name of Jesus? Is the blood of Jesus strong enough to save him? Hey, that's awesome, isn't it? Somebody said, that ain't fair. Praise God for the blood of Jesus. That's all I got to say. If it wasn't for that, none of us could get there. So praise the Lord. For that promise, in verse 39, that promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, you ever stop to think, why does God call some and he doesn't call others? God calls. He's got to call. You got to be drawn by the Holy Spirit. Why is that? If he's going to call, well, there's not any use in us doing anything then. If he's going to make the decision, there's going to be a few out there that he's going to call. The rest of us are going to go to hell anyway, so you might as well just stay home, right? No, that's not right. Then why? What determines who he calls? Who you pray for. That's exactly right. Somebody had the answer back there. If you're praying, if you're his son and you jump up in his lap, you come boldly to the throne of grace and start saying, Father, in Jesus' name, my wife, my children, my son, my daughter, my aunt, my uncle, my grandfather, what? Name them. Lord, they're not saved. They don't know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I want them to go to heaven with me. Lord, would you please send your Holy Spirit to begin to work on them and draw them into the kingdom? Why do you think the Lord told you to pray and ask all those things? Why do you think he told you to pray that the Father would send laborers into the harvest? I mean, if he was going to save who he wanted to, you might as well forget it, right? He wouldn't have told you to have done all that stuff. But since he told you to do all that stuff, he literally left the hands of the salvation of the people on his earth in the hands of the church. So if you pray, Father, in Jesus' name, please send the Holy Spirit. Lord, I rebuke that devil that's blinding the mind of my aunt or my uncle. I rebuke that devil, command that devil to stop blinding their mind to the truth of the Word of God. Now, Father, send that Holy Ghost to reveal yourself to them and convict them of sin. Draw them into the kingdom of God and save them. And, Lord, whoever that laborer is, you send the right one. Lord, if that laborer can be me, send me. But if I'm not the right one, sometimes you can't never send your own family member to another family member. They won't hear you. You know that? Why do they not hear you? Because they know your sins too well. See, they knew when you was that wicked critter back yonder. Oh, yeah, they know that 5 years ago you said you got saved. And, yeah, you quit lying, stealing, cheating, committing adultery, and sleeping around and all that stuff. But that's just a coincidence, you know. You really couldn't be a Christian because you were so mean back yonder. They don't ever forget that, do they, Jack? No, but if God sends somebody else that they don't know, and then they might listen to them. Do you know that?
A murderer, convicted
murderer. Sure, yeah. I remember a man that I'd prayed for back in the area that I was raised up in. There was an old gentleman there. I say an old gentleman. There I go again, you know. This guy died at 64. You know, he was old. You know, and then I thought he was old. You know, I was about 30-something. But I'd been praying for this guy. And I said, Lord, that old gentleman, he needs to be saved. He's an old bachelor. He lives by himself. I mean, he don't know nothing about you. I said, Lord, please send the proper labor into the harvest to save this man. One Sunday, I was down there in that area, and I was in a little Baptist church, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, the Lord says, "Son, after church today, I want you to go over and see John Doe." I thought, "Lord, this is Sunday. I mean, this guy's probably over to Toddy House, you know, having a toddy or something. You know, he's probably drinking on Sunday." I said, "He ain't going to be at home." So I argued with God. A little while later, you know, I'm sitting there, and he said, "Now, son, right after church is over today, I want you to go over and see John Doe." I thought, "God, what are you telling me to go see him for? This is Sunday afternoon. You know he ain't going to be at home." Now, you know, so again, about 5 minutes later, the Lord spoke to me a third time. He said, "Son, as soon as church is over today, you go over and see John Doe." Now, see, I've been praying for this guy to get saved and asking him to send the right labor into the harvest, just like he told me to in the Word. But when he's telling me now what to do, I'm arguing with him. Are we stupid or are we stupid? I know maybe y'all are not, but I have been. I've done some dumb things. And so after church, I finally said, "Okay, I'll go see him." I thought to myself on the way over to his house, "Sunday afternoon, this guy ain't going to be at home." So I walked up to the, drove up in front of his little old house there. He lived in a little old frame house. And I walked up in front of it and got out and went up and knocked on the door. When I did, man, he opened the door. Looked through that screen door and he said, "Thurman, what are you doing here on Sunday afternoon?" I said, "Well, I was up in church and I just thought I'd come by and visit you a minute." He said, "What are you going to visit me about?" Well, now I'm between a rock and a hard place. I said, "Well, really, sir, I come by today to talk to you about Jesus." He looked at me and said, "If there ain't a preacher in this town that walked up on my door and told me they want to talk about Jesus, I'd listen. I'd kick any one of them out." But he said, "I've known you all your life." He said, "You've been a good kid." He said, "You didn't drink, run around. I never heard you cussing. I never heard you out there with the rest of the boys doing all the rest of the things them other boys did." He said, "There ain't a man in this town I'd listen to about Jesus, but I'll listen to you." He said, "Come on in." Is God pretty smart? A whole lot smarter than me. And so, I didn't know that my holy walk had an impact on him. I didn't know he was watching me. But everybody's watching you, aren't they? And so I walked in, and I sat down. And this man said, "Come on in, Thurman, sit down." So I come in, and I sat down, and I'm facing the wall over here, and he sits down in a little chair over there facing this way. And I looked toward him, and I said, "You know, I want to really just read some scripture to you to start out." And so I said, "Lord, what do I read?" And so I dropped my Bible open to John 1. I thought, "Oh, good, that'd be a good place to start." So, you know, God was there helping me. So I started reading in John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And I read about a chapter, almost a chapter, and I looked up. And when I did, I saw my first demon manifest in my life, in this man. I saw this man's face clenched and drawn, and his eyes had turned glassy green. I'm telling you, if there had been another door I could have got out of, I'd have probably run. I didn't have a clue who I was then or what I could do in the name of Jesus. I mean, you know, you got to learn somewhere, right? I had no knowledge of what I was looking at, but I thought to myself, "Wow, I wonder if that's a demon in him." I mean, I'd heard about demons, I'd read about them in the Bible, but I'd never seen one manifest in anybody at this time. And so it scared me so bad, I just turned back down and thought, "Okay, I just keep reading." And so I just started reading, and I kept on. I read another chapter, and I looked up like this, and he wasn't quite as bad as he was. I read another chapter, and by the time I got to chapter 4, I looked up and he was normal. And I thought, "Wow, okay." I thought, what did I see happen here? I mean, you know, but you got to realize I was raised up in a Baptist church. I never heard nobody talk to me about demons. I didn't know what these guys were, how to deal with them or nothing else. But the Word of God, who is this all about? Jesus. And when I read the Word of God to that man, since the Lord sent me over there, who delivered the man from the demon? Jesus did. His Word delivered that man from a demon that day. And when I got through, I said, "Sir, in the name of Jesus, would you like to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior?" He said, "Well, tell me how to do it." And so I did. He looked at me and said, "Well, not right now, but I'll think about it." I said, "Well, okay." And I just said, "Well, I got to go." So I got up and left. And boy, that day, I've never forgot that day as long as I live. Never will forget that day. But as I'm driving on home, I'm thinking, "Wow, what did I see, Lord? What was all this?" But I knew God was in control. Because who sent me over there in the first place? The king. Yeah, he sent me. And he was training me. And I was beginning to learn about demons. Well, only a few months later, 3 or 4 months later, or maybe 6 months later, it wasn't very long, a lady from down that area, that her husband was a Baptist deacon that used to run around with him quite a bit. They raised cattle together and everything else. He knew him extremely well, had a lot of contact with him. But he never talked to him about Jesus. But one day she called me and said, Thurman, John Doe died this week. He had a massive heart attack and just dropped dead. And she said, he told us that you came down to see him the other day and that you told him how to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so she said, I asked him, well, what did you do? He said, don't be surprised. When you get to heaven, you'll see me there. See? So what did he do? He called upon the name of Jesus. He knew he had called upon the name of Jesus. So I know one day when I get there, that old man, which wasn't but 64 years old, but that old man, to me, when you're 30 years old, a 64-year-old is old, you know, but when we get to be 70 or 81 years old, that's not old, is it, Bobby? No, that's not old at all. But that gentleman, he died, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when I get there, I know that gentleman will be young and vibrant, and he's going to come over and put his arms around me and say, Thurman, I am so grateful you come by my house that Sunday afternoon and told me about Jesus. You know that? But see, in the name of Jesus, that's one of the things we can do. We can go in his name. We can take his word. We can get demons kicked out of people, even when we don't know what we're doing. Now, why did all of this transpire? Why was this man called, like the scripture says, why was he called of our God? Because of my prayer. I wanted the man saved. What if I'd have never prayed for him? Or what if nobody else had prayed for him? The guy would have died and went to hell. Isn't that scary? That's why we, as the body of Christ, need to pray for those around us. You know, you need to pray. You're not here to do nothing. You're here to do something for the kingdom. You're here to pray for the lost. You're, of course, you know, we need to straighten our act up and start walking it out first. You know, we need to walk in this God kind of love so the king will hear our prayer. You know, if we're mean and walking in unforgiveness and hatred and anger and rage and bitterness and sleeping around and doing everything else, when you come to the king and ask him for something, he's going to say, I don't hear you. You got sin in your life. I ain't going to listen to you. So you got to repent first. And if you repent, then he hears your prayer. Then you pray for those people. And then he does great and mighty things. And that will be one that our Lord will call. Now then, I've had many experiences similar to this in my life. But that one was such an awesome one. I thought about that whenever I read it. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, he's going to call everybody that you call on, everybody that you pray for. As you stay on his doorstep, don't ever give up. Now, some of you have been praying for people, loved ones, for months or days and months or years. Don't give up. He's going to move. Don't you dare give up. Let's go to 40 and 41, Dave. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow. How would you like to be part of bringing 3,000 people into the kingdom of God? Well, see, God's given you and me the chore to bring them in one by one. One by one. The scriptures clearly tells us that he that wins souls is wise. And you shall shine as the stars in the firmament forever. Do you want to shine as the stars in the firmament forever? You want great big diamonds in your crown or in the foundation of your home? Just win lots of souls. And every time, I am completely convinced, every time you win a soul into the kingdom, he sends an angel out to the quarry to get a magnificent diamond to put in the foundation of your new home. How would you like to have a few diamonds in the foundation of your house? Ooh, wouldn't that be awesome? But I believe with all my heart that's what the Lord's doing. Now let's go to Acts chapter 3. Verses 1 through 16. Acts chapter 3. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask money or alms of them that entered into the temple. Okay, verse 3 and 4. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms or some money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look at us. And so the man turned to look. Verse 5 and 6. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, now, this is the kind of faith that I want. I hope this is the kind of faith you want. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, did Peter pray for this boy? No, he didn't pray, did he? He knew his spiritual power with God. Oh, if we could only get there. Oh, if we could only get there. See, I mean, even like the man that the demon went out of, although I didn't know nothing, hardly anything at all, I took the word and the name of Jesus in the first four chapters of the book of John and got a man delivered from a demon. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you quote the name of Jesus. What is the most powerful thing on the earth? The name of Jesus. That's absolutely right. There's nothing any more powerful. But Peter knew that. But we don't know that. And we think we know that, but we don't. We're working on getting there. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, I have had the privilege to see God do many awesome signs and miracles and wonders in the name of Jesus. And haven't we, Frank? We have seen the King do some wonderful things in the name of Jesus. You know, so most of the time, technically speaking, you really don't need to do much praying. What you really need to do as a son or daughter of God is repent of your sins and then take the name of Jesus and command the sickness to leave your body. Is that what he did here? In the name of Jesus. That's what he did. Now let's go to 7 and 8. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. Now, you want to get people's attention. You see somebody that is lame, crippled from birth, and all that kind of stuff, and you speak in the name of Jesus, and they get healed. You know, we see those kind of things all the time. I think about the miracle that when we were in Minnesota this last week, over in Princeton, when we were in Princeton, Mark was there again, and Mark is the one that had the dog, Sam, that the left arm had been run over by a car or a pickup, whatever it was, and just crushed his joint, and they took him to the vet, but the doctor said, can't be fixed. Arm can't be fixed. His leg can't be fixed. And so he brought him to me and Jesus when I was at the meeting, and I went out there, and this little dog's arm, you know, leg, front leg, was just flopping around like this, you know, you could tell it broke totally in two. And I just reached over, and I'll have to say, I exercise very little faith, but I use the name of Jesus. You know, I mean, he wanted me to go out in prayer with this dog, so I just wonder, okay, I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed.
My dog lover.
Yeah, not really a dog lover, Eva, honey. Not really a dog lover. I'm more interested in human beings, but God showed me right there, he's even interested in the little animals. Because I went out there and poor little Sam with that broke leg, I just laid hands and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I said, thank you, Lord. It's done in Jesus' name. I was trying to walk off. And Mark said, well, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going back inside. He said, well, don't you want to see him run? And Mark, he had more faith than I did. He went, opened the door to let Sam jump out. And Sam jumped out and hit the floor and run off. And he told us when we was up there last week, he says, Sam's still running perfect. Hadn't got a problem. Isn't that something? What can we do in the name of Jesus? It's just amazing. You know, in the name of Jesus, what happens when you exercise faith? But, I mean, it's wonderful to see God do these things. But those people, and there was a whole bunch of those men that was at the meeting that day that I prayed, they were there again this last week because they come wanting to see Jesus do something else. You know, I love to see him do things too. That's why I go. You know, I love. Don't, Sharon, don't you love to see Jesus do them kind of things? Yes, we love to see the King show up when we pray. Yeah, and we had a lady too that whenever we were up there last time, I prayed over her back, and then she's walking around saying, you know, every time I turn to the right, my back hurts on this side. Every time I turn to the left, my back hurts on this side. I told her, I said, ma'am, you ain't never going to get well like that. She said, what do you mean? I said, you got to start saying, my back don't hurt. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. He paid the price. I said, you don't go by symptoms. And, you know, everybody thinks whenever I tell them that, well, you uncompassionate pastor. You don't have no compassion for me. Yeah, I'm a man of faith. I'm trying to tell you how to get things done and how to receive from the Lord. But she said, I quit talking about it. I just started saying, praise God, I'm healed. And she said it wasn't but, what, a couple of days or whatever it was, just a couple of days. All signs and symptoms went away. And she said, from the time you were here last time until now, just like you, Jack, she said, I've not had another pain in my back. She's another happy camper. You know, so praise God. Aren't we thankful for Jesus the healer? In the name of Jesus that we have, that we can claim these mighty miracles. But here, this man, he wasn't prayed for either. He was just commanded to get up in the name of Jesus. Well, that's the same way it still works today. This guy's jumping up praising God. Now let's go to verse 9 and 10. What did you say?
The lady's heart, the little baby's heart.
Oh, yeah, there was a, oh, that's a great testimony. I'll stop right here and tell you this testimony. I asked for testimonies when I first got there. And the lady said, well, does it have to be a fresh one? I said, well, no, as long as Jesus did it. She said, okay, well, she said, 20 years ago, my husband and I had a baby. And said, when the little baby was born, the doctor examined him three times. Was it a girl or a boy? You remember? I don't remember. Anyway, baby. And the doctor said, the child has a very seriously damaged heart, and we're probably going to have to do heart surgery. She said, now, my husband and I were people of faith. And she said, okay. Doctor left. She said, honey, it's time to pray. So her spiritual head and her, she said, we prayed and we called on God on behalf of his promises. And she said, Lord, we're your son and daughter. We're obedient. You give us this little baby. And we're asking you to give that little baby a perfect heart. Now we're thanking you. It's done. With no doubt, it's done. Our baby's heart's healed. I mean, that's just how, that's where their faith was. Yep, a new heart. And it's perfect. Well, that doctor went on vacation and sent another doctor in to a couple days later to check her. And he come in and he checked the baby. He said, the chart says the heart's bad. But checked it three times and said, there ain't nothing wrong with this baby's heart. She said, well, I told you there wasn't nothing wrong with it because we prayed. You know, I mean, this woman has faith. So she said, we take our baby and go home. She said, the other doctor gets back from vacation and he wants to know why we left the hospital. She said, because we're healed. We got a new heart. You know what a normal doctor thinks about that, don't you? Okay, you know, would you bring the child back and let me check it? She said, well, no, we're in no problem. We're okay. He said, please, I've got to see for myself. Bring the child back and let me check it again. So he said, well, he said, okay, but said, there ain't going to be no problem. The child is healed. We guarantee it. So they brought the child back. The doctor checked it three more times, and every time the child's heart was perfect. That 20 years ago, the child is fully grown now, ain't never had another problem with her heart. Now see, if they'd have went by what the doctor said, that poor little child could have had all kinds of complications in life. And it might have already been dead. Who knows? But because of a mom and dad that stood in bold faith, what is it that moves the hand of the king? Faith. Absolutely. Standing on his promises and believing him. And he gave that little child a perfect heart, and that child is now 20 years old and has not had any kind of problem with his heart ever since. So I thought, wow, that's a great testimony. But we get to hear lots of them. And all the people in verse 9, and all the people saw this man walking and jumping in, praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Why is it when we see God do a miracle, that's the same way we are? You know, we as the body of Christ, now I can understand the world, but we, the body of Christ, we should get used to seeing the Lord do miracles. That should be a normal way of life for us. Don't you agree? I mean, if something happens to us and come in, you know, you should come in. First thing, if you had a back pain and you couldn't get rid of it, first thing I'd do, okay, Lord, what did I do wrong here? Now, you're learning that concept, aren't you, Jack?
Yes,
okay, Lord, what did I do wrong? And, Lord, he'll usually convict you right quick and say, okay, you did this wrong. He said, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. And now, if you don't have the faith to get that devil kicked out of you, you need to go to a church somewhere where there's a pastor and some elders or deacons that do have that kind of faith. And so when Jack came to us several months ago and we prayed for him, I told him, you got to believe. And, of course, when he walked away from the platform, he's still hurting just as bad as he was when he come in. But by the time he got to the car, he wasn't hurting. And he ain't hurt since then, have you, Jack?
No.
Not one bit. So we serve a mighty God, don't we?
Yeah.
Now, he'd had that problem for months. Did he have to have it for months? Nope. Nope. But you learn to not sin anymore, too, didn't you, Jack?
Right.
Whatever the sin. And there's any number of sins. You know what one of the major sins is in the church today? Unbelief. That is the major sin in the church today. Unbelief of the promises of God. So God is a faith God. So anyway, after they saw this, they were in amazement with what they had saw, what had happened. And that's us, too. Most of us are that same way. Verse 11 and 12. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though you thought by our own power or our holiness we made this man to walk? And, of course, that's what people look at when they find someone that has that kind of faith. They stand in amazement of that man. You know, wow, I wish I could be like that man. You can. You can. You know, you don't have to be a Peter. You can be a Jack or a Sue or a Bob or a John or anybody else. God will use you if you'll get his word and use his name. Let's see what he says in the next two verses. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and you desired a murder to be granted unto you in his place. Okay, verse 15 and 16. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name. Now, has this concept ever changed? No, it is still working the same today. And his name, through faith in his name, Jesus' name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him, Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, boy, if we could just get a hold of the name of Jesus and have total faith and trust in the name of Jesus, we could do the same things Peter did, couldn't we, Tom?
Yes,
we can. All we got to do is walk in obedience to his word. We believe his word. And then we claim by faith in the name of Jesus, you're healed. And he shows up, doesn't he?
Amen.
It's faith in the name of Jesus. Somebody says, no, it's you. You did it. Give me a break. Don't you ever even make a statement. You think I healed anybody, because I might start getting the big head. And if I do, guess what Jesus is going to do for me when I go there, Tom? That's it. I ain't doing nothing else for you. You're taking the glory. I don't share my glory with nobody. But it is wonderful to be able to get to pray the prayer of faith. And I'm grateful, and I mean, I look across here, I look at my own lovely wife down here. She's been healed so many times. She's grateful that I'm her priest and I can go directly to the king. I know Sharon, Deborah, I mean, Jack, all of you, you know, that have received some kind of a healing. I mean, I was talking to Joseph a while ago, and he told me years ago how he was diagnosed with an incurable disease, and doctors told him he wasn't going to live but 3 years, and that was 20, 25 years ago. And he went to a man of God, man of God prayed for him, and got healed. Isn't that amazing? And 25 years later, he's still blowing and going. 78 years old. Hey, praise God. And we're going to be here another several years too, aren't we, Joseph?
Right, I don't plan to die either.
Don't plan to die. We're going home to be with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It's by faith. But We today, you and I today, need to get a hold of the fact that by faith in the name of Jesus, whenever the enemy comes by your house to try to do something to you, you have this same name available to you in your own home today. And you can use that name and you can get great things done, can't you? Yes, you can. By faith in the name of Jesus. He's your King. He's your Lord. He's your God. You can use that name, the name of Jesus, and you can drive away the enemy. I mean, I think about Scott back there. They got those three precious little children. And I think about Dave back there. You know, they got the two children and fixing to have a third one. I mean, I've seen them all do this. And, of course, I see Dave do it more than I do any of them because he lives right here with us. I mean, if anything happens to one of his children, I mean, a little runny nose or anything, he'll put his finger and say, out of there, you devil. You're not going to do this to my baby in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
See, he's learning, isn't he, Jack?
Amen.
He's learning his spiritual power and his spiritual authority in the name of his King. And he's learned. He can drive out devils in the name of Jesus. By faith, he got healed in the name of Jesus. You know, and I think about the terrible disease that Dave came through and how long it took him, but now he knows much more, and he knows how to get it done a whole lot faster. So since he experienced what he experienced, you know, when somebody calls him now and says, Dave, I got this problem. You know, I'm having trouble getting healed. One of his first questions is, what's your quiet time like with God? Do you have one? And you know what a lot of people say? No, I don't have one. Or I have very little. Well, now see, Dave's got a good starting point because he knows when he didn't have that, he wasn't getting healed either. But when he developed that, now then his faith in the name of Jesus is much more powerful. And when he prays or speaks over one of his children, things happen. So he knows it's not his holiness. It's faith in the name of his King. Well, every one of us got that same King available to us. Faith in the name of Jesus. And he was amazed. And it says, and his name, and through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Faith in the name of Jesus. So what can we do if we have enough faith in the name of Jesus? Hey, there ain't nothing impossible. Nothing. Absolute nothing. So let's go to 17 and, oh, that's 16. That's okay. Now let's go to Acts 4, verses 1 through 12. Acts 4, 1 through 12. Let's see something else here. And as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, if you happen to be a seminary professor, and you don't believe that there's a resurrection from the dead, and you're just telling them that this man stands healed because God, the Father, raised Jesus from the dead, and you don't believe in that, that's kind of against your theology, right? So what are you going to do to a man that's preaching against your theology? Kill him. Ooh, Jack, you don't have no compassion at all. But that's right. That's what they do. I mean, whatever, when your theology doesn't agree with the theology of another organization, even in the church, they want to crucify you. They want to crucify you. I know. I've been there and seen it happen. And as they spake unto the people, the captain and the temple came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I mean, you know, nobody ever is going to be raised from the dead. And Sadducees, they believe there was no resurrection from the dead.
Now, that's not just talking about resurrecting Jesus from the dead, but that's kind of talking about anyone.
Oh, yeah, they didn't believe nobody. You're right. The Sadducees, they believed there was no such thing as resurrection. When you die, it's over. You're just going to lay there and that's it. Your body, that's it. Dead. You know, no. That's not the way it is. You know, but they're preaching, these men are preaching and confirming with signs and miracles and wonders. I mean, think about how many people saw Jesus die on that cross. Think about how many people saw him put in that tomb. And then think about how many people saw him 3 days later walking in the streets of Jerusalem. But you know, one of his own men, Thomas, you know, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He was here with us last week. He said, you guys are nuts. I ain't believing that. I ain't believing that never. Under no conditions. The only way I'll believe that. And of course, Thomas had walked with him for 3.5 years. Saw his miracle. Saw him raise the dead. Saw him do everything. Nope. I saw him die. I ain't going to believe. I'm going to have to look at that hand. I'm going to have to put my finger in the holes. I'm going to have to be able to run my hand in the side and see him hearing and talking. Otherwise, I ain't believing. Boy, we're pretty hard-headed, aren't we? But he's just like you and me today. I mean, don't you start bad-mouthing Thomas, because you're just like him. We all are. But boy, when Thomas showed up with Jesus there the next Sunday, Jesus said, Thomas, come over here. Put your finger in my hand. Run your hand in my side. You know, pull his coat back. See this hole in my side? Stop believing. Start believing. Stop being faithless. What did Thomas do? Fell on his knees before the king. My Lord and my God. But Jesus made an awesome statement there. Blessed are you now because you have seen and believed. But blessed more so will be you because you have believed and you didn't get to see me. Well, I don't know about you, but I think I know about you. I think you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, don't you? There ain't no doubt in my heart the king was raised from the dead. And I know that one day, when we step out of this body, just like John Crocker over there in his own home, when John, I don't know whether he's laying in the bed, I don't know whether he went to sleep, I don't know if he fell on the floor, I don't know what, but all I do know is when his body died, John was standing in the kingdom of God. Amen. You know, he was translated immediately, and John might not even got to see his own body. Of course, he might have looked back and said, oh, there's that old thing I lived in. Boy, am I free now? You know, and that's what we're going to do. And then the Lord says, come on home, son. And an angel just grabbed him, put him in a chariot, and he's up there. Boy, he ain't never had a trip like that. You know, that's awesome. But we're going to get that trip. You know that? And we're going to be standing in the presence of the king. But these Sadducees, they did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. So they didn't like what was, these guys were being grieved because Peter and John are telling them that Jesus was raised from the dead. But yet, hundreds and probably thousands of people saw Jesus raised from the dead. But the thing about it is, the thing that a lot of us miss, after Jesus was raised from the dead, the Old Testament saints that had already been dead, some of them for years and years and years, they were resurrected from the dead. And they walked in the streets of Jerusalem. And people saw people, some of them that had been dead 10, 20, 30 years or 100 years, and they saw these people. Now then, what happened to those people? Those that raised from the dead. When Jesus went back to heaven, when he ascended, that was his wave offering to the Father. He took them with him. And not only as the ascension did, they get to see one man rising into the clouds, but they were everywhere rising into the clouds. Jesus took all those people with him back to heaven when he went. Now, nobody could go there till he went, but he was the first one. But after that, all those people, all those Old Testament saints that Acts chapter 27 says was raised from the dead after his resurrection, they got to see and talk to these people. So there wasn't just one man raised from the dead. There was a multitude of them. The city was full of resurrected from the dead people. Isn't that something? You know, this is one little line in the Scripture tells you all that. One little line. He didn't go into great detail, but it's there. And if it's there, it happened. And so those people were resurrected. So I can just see that day when Jesus is out there on the hill blessing his disciples. Now you boys go, and these signs will go into all the world, preach this gospel to everybody, and all those that will believe and be baptized will be saved, and those won't will be condemned to hell. And these signs shall follow those of you that will believe. In my name you shall cast out demons. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall drink deadly poison. It won't hurt you at all. You shall handle the devil with your hands. And when you lay hands on sick people, they'll get well. What an awesome promise, right? Woo! What an awesome promise. I can just see the devil now. As Jesus goes back to heaven, I can hear him out there whispering, hey, boys, come over here. We got to have a board meeting. We got to have a board meeting. If this message gets out and these people believe this, we're going to be in big trouble. And they will be, won't they? But praise God, he's getting it out to some of us slowly but surely, isn't it? Some of us are beginning to believe this magnificent book. We know that Jesus was raised from the dead. We know that multitudes was raised from the dead that day, and we know that when he went to heaven, he took multitudes with him. And so we know now from the teaching of the Scripture, when we die on this earth, to be absent from the body is to be present with God. You don't go into that grave and lay there for 100 years or 1,000 years. When you die today, you're in his presence. You never see death as a Christian. There's no such thing as dying for a Christian. When you step out of this, you step into that. It's all that simple. Now then, let's go to the next couple of verses. Then he says there in 4:3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now evening tide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. I mean, see, here these guys are. I mean, they're going out there and getting a hold of you and putting you in jail because you've done a good deed. Can you imagine, Jack, the day you come to my church over yonder in Dallas, if I'd have prayed for you and you'd got healed and you walked out the front door and somebody said, what are you doing over here? And he said, well, I come over here and got my back healed. They said, what? How'd you get healed? This is what Thurman went in there and he said, in the name of Jesus, and I got healed. And they come in there and take me out and put me in prison in Dallas for healing a man. Wouldn't it be awful?
Yeah.
But that's what these guys were doing. Let's go to the next couple of verses. Yeah, I know it. Isn't that sad? And it came to pass on the morrow that there were rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Okay, verse 7 and 8. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, you rulers of people and elders of Israel, verse, if we this day are being examined for the good deed done to the impotent or sick man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Boy, they're really gouging them with that raising from the dead, aren't they? I mean, they're just sticking it in there, aren't they, Jack? Just twisting it a couple of times. So they're not only sticking their sword in them, but they're sticking there and twisting it. I mean, they're really hurting these guys. These guys don't believe nothing. I mean, isn't it a shame that we got people like that today? You know, people that supposedly are people of God, but don't believe God does miracles. I mean, there was a man the other day, just up there where we come from. A woman said, my husband is a Christian. He does go to church with me, but he would not come to this meeting today with me because he said, I don't care what anybody says. God does not do healings or miracles today. You reckon that man's mind's blinded by something? Yeah.
They want to build a straw man and tear it down.
Yeah.
And I'm reminded of what they did. The same thing happened to Jesus. Said, well, okay, do you not believe my word or you don't believe the miracles? Here's the miracle in front of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you take your pick. You can't deny it. But they don't want to look. Yeah. All these people, they run from examining the miracle as fast and furious yeah. as they can.
But praise God, whenever you're one of those fortunate people like you, they got one. I mean, if somebody said, Jack, one of your good Baptist brothers, say, Jack, I don't care what you say, Jesus don't heal no more.
And I'd say, you've got to be too late.
Yeah, you got inside information. And that's the way it is with all of us. You know, God doesn't do those kind of things anymore, but yes, he does do those kind of things. He does awesome things when we believe. And what we're trying to do is, just like he says here, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel and all the people in the world, for as that goes, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Now, technically speaking, if it comes down to it, every time we receive a healing or a miracle, who did it come through? God. Yeah. Did you have a question, Lord? Oh, you ever give a testimony? Oh, okay, praise the King. This girl's sitting over here just busting at the seams. I thought, I didn't know what was going on. Here, Lori, if you come up here. You got to give a testimony. Yeah, we're on there. Okay.
As the word's going forth about miracles and healings, before I went to Israel, which was January 1st, I had pain in my right side, diagnosed with pleurisy, okay? And I've been praying, but the Lord, while the word's going forth, Jesus healed me, gave me a miracle, because I've had the pain, and there's a warmth that came over me as I'm listening, and I am healed. That pain is gone that I have been had since before the 1st of January. Amen. Praise the King.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, through our ministry. Well, praise the King. Glory to God. I mean, after all we're doing is teaching the Word. Is that right?
Yes.
We're teaching the Word.
That was right now.
Just now happened? Wow, we're just teaching the Word. Thank you, Lord. Praise the King. Frank, do we serve an awesome Jesus?
Hallelujah.
He's a mighty God, isn't he? I mean, when the King says, if I'm being glorified and lifted up, you know, he said, I'll do great and wonderful things. Well, what are we doing for the King? We're lifting up the name of Jesus. We're trying to let it be known that it's by faith in the name of our King that he's the one that's doing these great and mighty things. Nothing do we do that we can do on our own. But with him, with the name of Jesus, what's impossible with him? Nothing. That's absolutely right. Nothing. Now let's go on to the next couple of verses there. And 11 and 12. Now this is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be sozoed. That's what that is. That's it. So there, by the name of Jesus, us Baptists are real good at the saved part, aren't we, Jack? Well, we know there ain't no other name. You can't be saved out. There ain't no name under heaven. You got to confess the name of Jesus or you cannot go to heaven. So it's faith in the name of Jesus that gets us to heaven. I mean, any Baptist preacher can get up on his soapbox and preach that. But then you need to get up on that soapbox and say, there ain't no other name under heaven whereby you can be healed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now see, when we learned that word sozo, that word sozo is the one that set me free over 20 years ago. That word sozo, when I learned that word that night, and of course I was in Romans 10, at verse 9, when it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart the Father raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But the word was sozo. I had never heard the word sozo. When I clicked on that word sozo, it said the word sozo means saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved. I thought, wow, if it means all that, and I went back and checked, 120 places and 103 verses that word is used in the Greek New Testament. I read them all. That night after I read them all, I said, now, Lord, I don't understand. If I was healed on the cross 2,000 years ago, just like I was saved on the cross 2,000 years ago, I received you as my Savior when I was 11. How come I didn't get healed? He said, because, son, I am a faith God. And without faith, it's impossible to please me. And you have never received me as your healer by faith in my word. That night I knelt in front of the right there. I said, Lord, I now see it. I know you're a faith God. I'm receiving you as my healer. And from this day forth, I ain't never going to be sick again in the name of Jesus. And guess what? I have not ever been. That's great, isn't it? So the name of Jesus, if you have the faith to walk in divine healing, it'll give it to you. If you have the faith to be healed, it'll heal you. I mean, he says so. That word right there, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be sozoed. That's what that word in the Greek means. It's not saved. We could have just as well have put not only the word saved there, we could have put healed, we could have put delivered, we could have put health, we could have put made whole, we could have put delivered, and it would all have the same meaning because the word in the Greek is the word sozo. And so when you get a hold of that, Lord, praise God, I am sozoed. Lord, I'm healed. I don't have to be sick no more. Isn't that wonderful, Bruce? It is so wonderful. I don't know about you, but being well is so much better than being sick. Oh, praise God. Being well is so much better than being sick. And to think of the people on this earth that have not spent enough time with God to ever learn the power in the name of Jesus. See, really, if you have the name of Jesus and you have the faith, you can be anywhere, can't you? And you can use that name and it'll work for you. But you know, when you get in a meeting like this and we got all of our faith together, faith in the name of Jesus can do great and mighty things. And you can get healed, can't you, Lori? Praise the King. Wow, that is something. Now, let's go to Acts 4:17 through 22. Acts 4:17 through 22. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in this name. I mean, these boys are serious, aren't they? We are threatening you. And they called him and commanded him not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. Now, I wonder why these boys wouldn't want nobody to speak the name of Jesus. Because what happens in the name of Jesus?
The things they can't do.
That's right, the things they can't. People get saved. People get healed. People get delivered. All kinds of wonderful things happen by faith in the name of Jesus. I remember one time reading an article about a man that was sick with cancer, and somebody come over and prayed over him, and nothing happened. I've done that lots of times. And then it says there was a man of God there, and he says, y'all are not through. Go back over there, and all six of you get in a circle, hold hands around him, and just start speaking the name of Jesus, and said, don't quit till he's healed. So said they just got in a circle around this man with the cancer, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And it said about 30 minutes to an hour later, all of a sudden that man was instantly totally healed. Just in a circle around him, proclaiming the name of Jesus. What can happen in the name of Jesus? There is nothing impossible. See, these men didn't want this happen. Because what do you think might be in these men that's threatening these men doing these good things? Reckon they might have a demon or two in them? I think they might have a whole host of these demons in them. Now let's go to the next couple of verses. And verse 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. You make that choice. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now see, that's the way I am. That's just like, you know, whenever I was sitting in the cafeteria that time over there at Sky Chef. And, of course, I always prayed over my food and everything else. And it was really fun working there as an engineer and ministering to all those people. And one day at the table we're talking, there's a whole table full of us there, and they're asking me questions about the Lord. I'm talking about Jesus, and I'm telling them, you know, there ain't no other name under heaven you can be saved. Anybody that serves another God than Jesus Christ is going to die and go to hell. And so, anyway, I hadn't much more and got out of the cafeteria good back down on the floor until I heard the PA say, Thurman Scrivener, would you come to the HR office upstairs? I thought, well, when I got to go to HR office, I wonder what I done now. And so I went by the cafeteria and got me a cup of tea, and I walked up and sat down, and my director was there. He was a kind of backslidden Southern Baptist at the time. And the HR lady, she was a fairly decent Pentecostal girl. But I walked in and they said, Thurman, you have offended somebody in the cafeteria. I said, oh, I did? I said, gee, I'm sorry. What did I do? So they came in here and said, you were talking at the table and you said nobody was going to go to heaven except those that believed in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, oh, I didn't say that. They said you said that. I said, no, I was just repeating what the King said. See, when you repeat what Jesus said, you're on safe ground, right? Are you going to stir up a few hornets' nests? Did these boys stir up a hornet's nest? Oh, yeah. You start doing something by faith in the name of Jesus, I guarantee you're going to stir up some demons. And some of those demons will be in some of the people you'll be least likely to think they're in. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Okay, verse 21 and 22. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. Now then think, what if they had a beat up publicly on Peter and John after this man got healed? All the people. What's all the people doing? They're praising God. This old sick man, this healed guy, 38 years old. Huh? 40. Oh, 40. Okay, yeah, okay, 40. That's right. The other one was 38 that Jesus healed. First said, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So here's this guy, 40 or above. Who knows? He might have been 45 or 50. We don't know. But anyways, he was a little above 40. I'm thinking of the one Jesus healed at the pool that day that was 38. And you remember the one that Jesus healed at the pool that was 30? You remember Jesus' words to him after he healed him? He said, now go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon you. So what is it that made the man sick? Sin. And Jesus told him to stop sinning or something worse. Now, he'd only been crippled for 38 years. That's pretty bad, isn't it? I'd hate to be crippled for 38 years and couldn't even get up and walk. Nothing. This man had never walked a step in 38 years. They carried him and set him at the gate. And he'd been like that for 38 years. In fact, the man even said, you know, when the angel stirs the water, I can't even get into the water. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If I thought getting into that water would have healed me, I'd have been laying beside that water with my arm right there. All I had to do is... Wouldn't you, Bruce? I mean, if I'd been sick for 38 years and I thought I would never let them set me up there on the shelf where I knew I couldn't get to that water, I would say, God, set me in the water. Put my feet in the pool. I'm going to be the first one in, I guarantee. I'm going to be in it all the time. So when that angel comes, I know I'm going to get healed. If I'd have thought that water would have healed me, I'd have been in that pool. Wouldn't you? Absolutely, I would have. But obviously, he was not there. But even after Jesus healed him, he's clearly told him, there's not a better message anywhere in the Word that sin makes you sick than that one right there. Jesus clearly told him, now stop sinning or something worse than this sickness is going to come upon you. So I don't want to sin, do you? No, I don't want to sin. No way, no form, no fashion. Okay, that's there. And then let's go to chapter 4, verse 29 through 31. Chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. I want you to see what happened here. And now this is the kind of praying that we need to learn how to do. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Now see, this is what we need to remind the Lord. Lord, they're threatening us. There's people saying that miracles and healings don't work anymore. So now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. Now, see, that sounds like a good prayer for us, doesn't it? By stretching forth your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Does that sound like a good place to go? See, if this is a prayer they prayed, then why don't we pray this kind of prayer? You ever think about that? Maybe this is put in here for an example for us. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto us, your servants, that with all boldness we may speak your word. Now, see, that should be mine and your prayer, shouldn't it? That's what we should pray. And after we boldly speak your word, then, Lord, we ask you to stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Now then, let's see what verse 31 says. And when they had prayed, now see, this happened after they prayed, not before. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. How would you like to be in a prayer meeting where the building starts shaking? You know what most of us would do? We'd run outside screaming, there's an earthquake. Instead of just bathing ourselves, saying, Lord, I mean, The building is shaking. The floor is shaking. And the lights are shaking. And we're shaking. And it all happened after we prayed all this. I would just love to see God do something like that, wouldn't you? Because I know he ain't going to tear up nothing. I mean, he can make concrete become like jelly, can't he, Jack? And when he gets through shaking it, it can be just as smooth and slick as it is right now. See, God can do awesome things. And so he said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Isn't that wonderful? And to go out and do signs and miracles and wonders in the name of Jesus. Now, that's a great prayer. And I think that you and I, before we quit today, I think we ought to just stand up and ask the Lord to do that for us. Would you like to pray that prayer with me? Let's stand up here. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we realize the threatenings of the world against your son, Jesus. And Lord, just like Joseph said a while ago, it is happening in places in the world where people are being killed because of the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, the name of Jesus, they're doing everything they can to take Jesus out of the workplace, out of the businesses, out of the schools, out of everywhere. They're telling us that we have to shut up. We cannot speak in the name of Jesus. But Lord, we ask you to consider all of their threatenings, that they are nothing. And we ask you to give us, your sons and daughters, the boldness to proclaim your mighty word, that everywhere we go, we'll not be ashamed of you, but we'll be bold with your mighty word. We'll tell people the truth, that there's no other name under heaven whereby they must be saved, they must be healed, they must be delivered, and that name is the name of Jesus. And Lord, give us the boldness to proclaim that. And then, Lord, as we proclaim these mighty things everywhere we go, as Cheryl and I goes out to Silver City, New Mexico this week, as we proclaim the word with boldness, as do every one of these people here that's one of your sons and daughters, as they proclaim the word with boldness this week, we ask you to move in their hearts, and we ask you to do great, mighty, miraculous signs and miracles and wonders, Lord. And Lord, if you want to shake this place today, Lord, that's okay. We would love it. Lord, we know that you're our God. We know you're our Lord. And Lord, we just want to be bold with your word. And we want to thank you for being our God and our Lord and for saving us and calling us. And as somebody prayed for us back there, and we can join here today as your sons and daughters, knowing we are children of the Most High God. And that every sin we've had, we've repented of every sin, and every sin is under the blood. We're clean right now with a clean slate. And our sheet has no marks on it because we've repented of everything we've done. And you washed away every sin we've done, whether we've lied, stole, cheated, committed adultery, whatever we might have done, Lord. And all many of us have done all of them things, and some of us have done some of those things, but all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, Lord, we thank you that you've forgiven us and washed us clean and made us whole by the blood of our wonderful Savior Jesus. And today we stand in your presence with no record against us. We're clean and pure and holy in your presence. And Lord, because we are, because of the blood, we ask you to give us that boldness to proclaim the truth of the Word of God this week, everywhere we go. Speak boldly in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we do, and as we talk to people, and as we pray for people, and as we lay hands on people, and may you save them, heal them, deliver them, and do great and mighty signs and miracles and wonders that the people will know that we're attached to the Most High God. And Lord, thank you for being our Lord and our God. And we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the King.